Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, and you can catch me and my buddy Big Dave from Outsiders on a new project called Hot Mic, a live sports streaming app that lets you choose your announcers. We're calling every Chicago Bears game this season, so check that out. Follow them on Twitter at Hot Mic Inc. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. My co-host Jordan Malley is at Jordan C. Malley. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with any and all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, inquiries, questions, and we will get to them in our weekly mailbag segments. We'll do that for you tomorrow, Wednesday, as we get back into gear. We are less than a week away from the Bulls season officially starting. We've got Bulls Media Day happening this coming Monday, the 30th. And then the following day, October 1st, we have the Bulls' first practice of training camp. We're getting so close. At this point, I think it's safe to say that we have made it. We've gotten through the doldrum, the dog days of summer. The NBA season is right around the corner, and I'm starting to feel some of this excitement from Bulls fans. Hopefully those of you who are Bears fans, in addition to Bulls fans, enjoyed that Bears victory on Monday Night Football over the Washington Redskins last night. Certainly nice to see Mitch Trubisky throw some touchdown passes. Just a reminder that if you are a Chicago Bears fan diehard, just as you are a Chicago Bulls fan diehard, check out the great work that our buddy Lauren Cox is doing over at Locked On Bears. And if you feel like being miserable, check out Ryan Davis and Sean Sears, who do great work over at Locked On Cubs, as their season is reaching a pretty unfortunate end. But as I said, NBA basketball is right around the corner. So those of us here Locked On Bulls, and all of you out there in Bulls Nation, nothing but excitement and high hopes right now. Fairly healthy roster coming into training camp, knock on wood. We'll see what updates, if any, we get about Chandler Hutchison at Media Day. And also that of Wendell Carter Jr., who had offseason surgery for that core injury that he sustained in the offseason. So, or that I suppose got a little bit worse. It was a pre-existing injury that he decided to address in the offseason. So hopefully that's good news that we get at Media Day this coming Monday. And there will be another reinvigorated sense of optimism and positivity around this Bulls team that some people are pegging to be a perhaps somewhat slept on team that's got a lot of young talent on it coming into this season. Perhaps a first-time All-Star on the way with Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen, who, by the way, the next tier of that ESPN Top 100 list that Jordan and I were discussing a little bit yesterday, comparing it to the SI list that dropped earlier, LaVine came in at 55, which, you know, as Jordan and I were saying, I think we like that a lot better than SI having LaVine at a grossly disrespectful 90th on their rankings list. So they dropped 50 through 31 earlier today, ESPN did, for their list. And guess who came in at number 50? Our guy, Lauri Markkanen. So interesting that obviously it's a smaller gap 55 for LaVine, 50 for Markkanen, compared to 90 for LaVine and 75 for Markkanen on that SI list. But both lists agree and have Markkanen ranked higher than LaVine, despite what LaVine was able to do statistically last season. Markkanen had a great stretch, we all remember, averaging 26 and 12 in the month of February. But over the complete season, I think it's safe to say LaVine was more impressive. Interesting that maybe some people are putting the ceiling or the projection of what Markkanen can be or could be into those rankings and their ratings. But it's nice to see a couple of these young, talented Bulls getting a little bit of recognition on the national stage finally. And maybe that will come with a little bit more attention and hopefully some Bulls wins. Not coming with a lot of nationally televised games, at least out of the gate. The Bulls have one this year. One! But hey, you gotta start winning for people to turn their eyes in your direction. And I think the Bulls know that. But it is nice to see LaVine and Markkanen both getting a little bit more respect on that ESPN Top 100 list. A couple of things I wanted to touch on today's show that are news and noteworthy. A couple of things with the Bulls making a roster move. An ex-Bull finding himself a new home. And then I wanted to spend the bulk of the show, and we'll get to this later on in the back of today's show, talking about the new rules and restrictions that the NBA handed down and passed on Friday of last week about increasing the penalties and the harshness of penalties and adding new rules when it comes to trying to prevent tampering and cap circumvention, salary circumvention. Jordan and I didn't get to that on Monday, so I wanted to talk about it today and give you my thoughts about these new rules and how it could or might affect this Bulls team and whether or not Bulls fans should like these new rules. So we'll get to that a bit later. But before that, got to give a shout out to our boy Antonio Blakeney. The Bulls waived him in a predictable move a couple weeks ago, freeing up a roster spot that they needed because they were currently at 16 contracts after having brought back another Jim Boylan favorite in Shaq Harrison. And Blakeney, given the fact that he and Boylan were never really on the same page, Blakeney found himself in Boylan's doghouse a lot because of the ISO hero ball kind of stuff that you saw from Blakeney all season long. And the fact that Blakeney was a fairly cheap maneuver for the Bulls to pay him to go away to free up that roster spot. I didn't necessarily think it was of great likelihood that Blakeney would find his way onto a different NBA roster, especially this late into the offseason. And lo and behold, and I was saying this to my guys from Outsiders, John and Big Dave, last week, it would have made the most sense for Antonio Blakeney to go play in China. The most sense. Because guess what? A guy like him, who was trying to shoot more shots than have more passes in a game, can go be a star over there. And NBA has-beens or not quite NBA caliber players can go play in China and make good money doing it. And so to me, for Blakeney to go play in China and say, hey, all right, well, give me the ball. I'm going to take 40 shots a game. I think it's the perfect solution for him. And you probably could see him be a star in China. Because this is a guy who, before making his way onto the main Bulls roster when playing for the Windy City Bulls, was averaging like 30-some points a game. He was a monster. Taking a lot of shots. So he's going to go to the CBA and do that there, expecting to sign this deal with the Jiangsu Dragons of the Chinese Basketball Association. And it was originally Emiliano Carcia of Sportando who broke this news just the other day. So it was just a $100,000 buyout that the Bulls had to give Blakeney to free up that roster spot. And I think it's you know, this is good news for all involved. Bulls fans can, you know, keep one eye on Blakeney if they want to see how he's doing over in China this upcoming season. And, you know, maybe you felt like bringing back Shaq Harrison was unnecessary considering the offseason moves. You know, you draft Kobe White, you add Satoransky in free agency, you brought also Ryan Arcidiacono back. So did you really need to bring back Shaq Harrison? Maybe you would have preferred Blakeney, the microwave bench scorer, to be the one who sticks around. But I feel like that would not be a pretty popular opinion among Bulls fans. I don't know. Heck, throw us a thought or a comment on Blakeney in that text and voicemail line if you want. 331-979-1369. You happy for Blakeney that he's got this deal to go play in China? Any of you out there think it may have maybe was a mistake to release Blakeney? I can't imagine that. But maybe some of you thought, hey, dude can get buckets because he certainly can take shots, and sometimes that meant he could get buckets. 57 games for Blakeney as a Bull last season, scoring 7.3 points per game. So with that, we wish Antonio Blakeney a happy departure and a best of luck playing overseas in China. I think it will be a perfect scenario for Blakeney. Another piece of Bulls news that broke, and this was, I believe, just yesterday, Monday afternoon, the Windy City Bulls announcing, and it was, I believe, Shams who had this first before the official announcement on the Windy City Bulls Twitter page, announcing a trade, the Bulls acquiring Chicago native and former Loyola Rambler Milton Doyle. So the Windy City Bulls get him and return Jakar Sampson back to the Brooklyn Nets affiliate, the Long Island Nets. And then they also, in this trade, sent the fourth pick in the 2019 NBA G League draft to the Toronto Raptors affiliate, Raptors 905. So, not a whole lot of info on Milton Doyle as far as like NBA stats. What we do know is he played his high school ball at Marshall here in Chicago. That's the same school where Patrick Beverley, Chicago favorite, played his high school ball. And he was a Loyola Rambler after he committed to Kansas, enrolled at Kansas, and then did not play a single game. So he transfers to Loyola, sat a year, and then played 4 years for Loyola. He averaged double figures in scoring in each of those four seasons with the Ramblers. However, he was not a part of that Ramblers team that made all that noise and had that awesome Cinderella story making it to the Final Four a couple years ago. So he left the year before that. But still, Marshall High School product, Loyola product, coming here and making his way onto the Windy City Bulls. So he went undrafted, but he did play 10 games for the Brooklyn Nets in the 2017-18 season, in which he averaged 3.4 points, 1.8 rebounds, 1 assist in just 12.5 minutes per game. The shooting, not great. 27.7% from the field, 17.4% from three-point range. As a guard, that is not ideal. 6'4", 25-year-old who spent last year playing abroad in Spain, now finds his way back home to Chicago. It's a partially guaranteed deal, according to Shams Charania, and no specific number that I know of yet on what that partial guarantee is. And it's a nice story to see a Chicago high school product and a Loyola grad coming through Chicago, getting an opportunity to play here, and we'll keep an eye on him while he's playing with these Windy City Bulls. But the hope, of course, is that the Bulls will not need to bring him up at any point. I mean, with all of the injuries that we sustained and endured last year, and all of the G League caliber players that we saw wearing not Windy City Bulls jerseys, but actual Chicago Bulls jerseys last year, especially towards the back end of the season, was a giant headache and heartache for Bulls fans everywhere. So it's a nice story to have Milton Doyle back here in Chicago. And you wish him all the best with the Windy City Bulls. But let's hope that Bulls fans don't need to hold a whole lot of information on who is Milton Doyle and what can we expect from him tonight. Because, oh dear God, he's been called up and he has to play minutes in a real Bulls game tonight. Let's hope that's not the case. So before we get to the new league tampering rules, just wanted to remind all of our Locked On Bulls listeners that if they aren't using DoorDash, they absolutely should be. Have you had a long day at work? Are you still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKED ON. That's promo code LOCKED ON when you download the DoorDash app. The first order, you get $5 off if it's a $15 order or more. There are a lot of different food delivery apps out there. You know, I've tried a bunch of different ones. To me, DoorDash is the most reliable one with the best options as far as the restaurants that it will deliver to you. So check them out. Okay, so as I said, I wanted to talk about these new rules that the NBA announced on Friday. So it was ESPN reporter Tim Bontemps who had the meat of this report that came out on Friday. And I got to say, everything that we heard in this report as a Bulls fan, I think means good news. The NBA's Board of Governors on Friday unanimously approved a series of measures to more strictly enforce compliance with tampering and salary cap circumvention. This is the report from Tim Bontemps, in case you didn't see it. In addition to being subject to fines up to $10 million, which is a significant increase from the previous max, teams can also lose draft picks, executives can be suspended, contracts can be voided when rules are not followed. In addition, teams must save communications with agents for one full year, and random auditing of a team's communication with agents and other teams can take place. So here's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver talking about the Board of Governors making these decisions. Certainly, the provisions passed unanimously, and there was a strong view, I think, of every single person in the room that we need to ensure that we're creating a culture of compliance in this league and that our teams want to know that they're competing on a level playing field and, frankly, don't want to feel disadvantaged if they are adhering to our existing rules. The ultimate goal here is to ensure compliance and to ensure that there's that appropriate tension that exists at the team. So there is a sort of significant threat that if a team doesn't comply, that there will be consequences. End quote. That's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Here's more from Tim Bontemps. Both tampering and the potential for salary cap circumvention gained steam this summer after a series of deals appeared to be agreed upon before free agency officially began at 6:01 p.m. Eastern time on June 30th. And after Kawhi Leonard's high-profile free agency resulted in him and Paul George joining the LA Clippers. As a result, Silver and the league entered this week's meetings with a series of things the NBA wanted to implement to create stricter consequences going forward. And it wasn't just the big names, right, that we looked at and some of these deals that were announced well before that 6:01 Eastern time start of free agency. Because remember, the NBA pushed it up this year. It used to be midnight on the 1st, and they're like, see, why are we starting free agency at midnight? That's stupid. Let's start it earlier. Let's give agents and players and teams, executives a break. Let's give the media a break. Starting this at midnight is stupid. It makes no sense. So let's start it at 6 p.m. the 30th instead of July 1st, midnight. But even then, you had NBA reporters breaking news of deals agreed upon between players and teams well before 6 p.m., 1 p.m., 2 p.m. And then even the litany of deals that were announced right at 6:01 p.m. Eastern time or shortly thereafter, including the Bulls deal with Thaddeus Young. That Bulls deal with Thaddeus Young was announced like, I can't remember the specific time, but I want to say it was like not even 6:15 Eastern time. So clearly the Bulls did a little bit of mini tampering based on the current actual rules themselves. And everyone clearly had some kind of tampering that broke the quote-unquote rules of free agency, because it's not like all of these deals and all of these phone calls happened between 6 and 6:01 Eastern time. It's not actually possible. So, these new rules that Silver and the Board of Governors agreed upon, these goals, here they are. So, the annual random auditing of five teams' communications with rival front offices and player agents, along with the league having the mandate that it can undertake more in-depth investigations where cause exists. And then, as I mentioned, increasing the maximum fine of tampering and breaking these rules to $10 million. Top team officials, again, required to save communications with agents for 1 year. And these are officially league rules after the Board of Governors' unanimous approval Friday afternoon. They only needed 75% majority for these rules to have passed, which would be 23 of the 30 NBA teams, but the decision was unanimous. Couple other interesting items that happened at these governors' meetings for the NBA. They changed the language and added a definition of the term gathering when a player gathers his dribble when trying to figure out what is and what is not a traveling violation in the NBA. So we'll see how that, if at all, affects traveling calls. My guess is that they defined it to be as lenient as they have been with some of these travel calls. My buddy Kendall Gill, so many times watching games with him this past season, he would just say, that's a travel. I know, you know, James Harden and his, you know, step back gather in particular, a couple other players who have certain moves that look like they are travels, but have just been kind of ignored or looked over, or, you know, just the refs deciding to give players a break and the league wants more offense. And if you don't call traveling, you'll get more offense. So we'll see how, if at all, the new definition of gathering affects the NBA officials and how they call that and don't call that. And then the other one, nothing major, but noteworthy. Teams now must make their starting lineups available an official 30 minutes before tip-off, as opposed to just 10 minutes before tip-off. The move was made to, quote, increase transparency for teams, media, and fans, according to the NBA's official statement. And you also have, of course, now with legalized sports betting going all over the place, that's probably going to make a lot of sports bettors happy, because teams can still change that starting lineup that they officially submit 30 minutes before tip-off if circumstances change, like a player who's a game-time decision who has an injury or something come up during pregame warm-ups. But for the most part, knowing what that starting lineup is 30 minutes before tip-off instead of 10, a lot of sports bettors are going to like that move from the league. But so now, back to the big rule changes about anti-tampering and how they affect the league, and specifically us Chicago Bulls. So this is where I want to start with my take on how this affects the Bulls. Here is Adam Silver. As I was saying from the other standpoint, none of us want people looking into their personal communications. But I think people who operate in a public company environment, who operate in a financial world, who are used to compliance procedures, understand that you have to find the right balance of disclosure and privacy so you can ensure that people of goodwill will understand that there will be consequences to inappropriate behavior. Obviously, if people felt that they were absolutely free and clear to communicate in certain ways, you wouldn't be addressing the consequences notion of improper activity. And to me, that right there so completely defines how Bulls fans should feel about this news. Because when you look at what this team has done, and again, as I said, they technically did a little bit of mini tampering when they announced that Thad Young deal, because clearly that was a prearranged deal. But for the most part, the Bulls seem to be sitting on the outside looking in to all of these other teams, and yes, big market teams like the Bulls, tampering a lot and for the most part getting away with it. A small fine here, a tap on the wrist there, but big time tampering. And the Bulls sitting on the sidelines and saying, well, we're not going to do that because that's tampering. We don't want to break the rules. And of course, the thing that I think I thought of immediately when hearing this kind of talk from Adam Silver saying, you know, teams that follow the rules should feel like they are following the rules for a reason and that there's, you know, consequences for not following the rules. It brings me back to the interview that John Paxson did with 670 The Score last season. And he was on the McNeil and Parkins show, and Danny Parkins was asking John Paxson, what, if anything, are you guys doing to try to not tamper, but use creative maneuvering ways to generate interest among big-name players to come play for Chicago? And then John Paxson asked for examples, and then Danny Parkins cited a couple of different examples. Notably one about Kawhi Leonard. And then John Paxson's response, and I remember this very vividly, and he said it on air, was, if that's not tampering, I don't know what is. So to me, that answer stated very clearly that John Paxson and the Bulls have no interest in doing any heavy-duty tampering. And maybe John Paxson and the Bulls have been very PO'd, very ticked off at the fact that some of these other teams in the league are going to get away with tampering and have been getting away with tampering, but they were afraid to do it themselves. And maybe afraid isn't the right word. Maybe I shouldn't cast them out as being like chickens or cowards or scaredy cats or whatever phrase you want to use to go out there and break the rules if everyone else around you is breaking the rules too. If you can't beat them, join them. That kind of thing. Maybe it is, well, we hold ourselves to a standard here at the Chicago Bulls, and there are rules that the league has set, and we are going to abide by those rules. Bulls fans can look at that kind of attitude and say, okay, yeah, Mr., you know, sitting in your ivory tower high and mighty. Because Paxson has also said things like, well, it's easy to cast arrows down from the top of the mountain when responding to criticisms about Steve Kerr levied towards the Bulls about the way that they did Fred Hoiberg wrong. So it's all part of this whole perception is reality, and who are the Bulls and how do their executives operate? And is the fan base allowed to be upset and justified with their criticisms when they see the Bulls front office fail to do things that modern NBA teams are doing to find success? And some of that in recent years, yes, has been breaking the rules and tampering. Because if you're going to get away with it, then why not do it? So to me, that's why this new rule or set of rules increasing the close eye that the league is paying on potential tampering situations and longer, more in-depth investigations and making everyone save their paperwork and save their, you know, their communications and their records with agents and all this stuff, and lifting the punishments, maxing fines at $10 million. You can even have executives getting suspended. You can have draft picks revoked. These are real significant increases in penalty for tampering that we had not seen in recent years. And maybe they will be serious enough in their increase in harshness that other teams who were tampering and dipping and wading further into the tampering pool think twice about it. Which, if you're a Bulls fan saying, well, our executives are either too afraid to try tampering and getting away with it, or they're taking this high and mighty stance of, well, we don't want to tamper because that's against the rules. All right, well, when's the last time you landed a big name free agent? And would tampering help get you there? So if the Bulls are unwilling to tamper for either reason, whatever it is, either they're afraid or their priorities and their principles. Either way, I don't care. I don't care which one it is. If it's their principles or they're afraid to do it. Either way, if they're not going to do it, then this is good news for the Bulls and their fans. Because it means those teams who are still willing to take that risk and do some serious heavy-duty tampering, if they get caught, will have much harsher penalties thrown their way. So in a sense, with Adam Silver talking about everyone wanting a fair level playing field, it's good news for the Bulls. And for the most part, I think this would be geared towards these smaller market teams who say, oh, this is so unfair. How are we supposed to compete? You know, all these big market teams that can throw all this money and all this endorsement potential and big city living and giant celebrity status and all this stuff. Small market teams saying, man, we got to level the playing field. This isn't fair. How are we supposed to keep our stars that we draft to turn into stars or convince other stars to come play with them when you got all this tampering of the big market teams? So it's kind of funny that the Bulls are sitting here as a big market team that have always had that mom and pop kind of small market attitude and system of operation saying, well, thank goodness they're increasing the harshness of penalties on tampering because we want to have a level playing field. It's ridiculous that the Bulls need the league to step in here and do them a solid and make tampering more punishable with a wider variety and a heavier variety of punishment for getting caught tampering. It sucks that I'm sitting here talking about how, hey, this is great news for the Bulls because if you can't beat them, join them thing isn't happening, well, you're clearly still not joining them, and now hopefully the people who are doing the winning because they're cheating will get away with it less and win less. And yes, the playing field will be leveled a little bit. But whatever way you slice it, it's good news for the Bulls, and it's good news for us Bulls fans. Assuming that the status quo remained the same and that the Bulls would continue to remain unwilling to do some of the gray area tampering, is it tampering, is it not tampering kind of stuff that John Paxson went on air and said, if that's not tampering, I don't know what is. So these rules, assuming the Bulls were going to stick to the party line of we don't tamper, we're not going to tamper, assuming that would remain the case moving forward, these new rules that the league just passed down on Friday are good news. Good news, people. If you have any thoughts on these new NBA rules, I would love to hear them, as would Jordan. That text and voicemail line, once again, 331-979-1369. Or you could just email us, lockdownbulls@gmail.com. A lot of our international listeners have been using that email address, and it's great. We've got a couple of international listeners to get to on Mailbag tomorrow. Looking forward to that. You could also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan is at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. We will be back tomorrow with some mailbag content. If you have any thoughts about Blakeney, if you have any thoughts about the Bulls signing the Loyola product, Milton Doyle, to their G League team, if you have any thoughts on the ESPN rankings, LaVine at 55, Lowry at 50, or these new league rules passed down by the NBA on Friday, we'd love to hear them and interact with you, our loyal Bulls fans. Appreciate y'all, and we will talk to you tomorrow. For Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks so much for listening. See you, Red. Be good, and enjoy a Bears victory week. Check out Locked On Bears. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
10 seconds to 10.